Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to really get into some fascinating ideas.
Yeah, hopefully some powerful insights for you around personal change, purpose, and this really interesting concept called abundant life.
Exactly. And our source for this exploration, it comes from excerpts titled, Humbly Asking God for Abundant Transformation.
Specifically, a part marked Week 1, Day 5, Step 7, Follow.
Okay, so our mission really is to unpack what this material is presenting. We want to understand its view on, you know, deep personal change.
What it says is required for that change.
And the kind of, well, expansive benefits it talks about.
Right. And just to be clear, we're exploring the ideas themselves, what the text proposes. We're not here to endorse or critique them, just understand.
Definitely. We're just here to distill it for you.
Okay, so where does it start?
Well, it kicks off with a really interesting thought. It suggests that just getting over a specific struggle, maybe like in recovery, isn't really the end goal.
Right. The text actually says, merely overcoming a particular struggle does not mean that you are healthy or that life is good.
Which is quite a statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
It hints at something much bigger.
It really does. It immediately broadens the horizon beyond just, you know, fixing a specific issue. It's not just about patching things up.
So what does it say is the bigger picture, according to this source? What does God want for people beyond that initial fix?
Well, it talks about things like eternal happiness and peace in all of life, not just some parts, but all of life.
Okay.
And also joy, rich relationships, finding a divine purpose. It's a really full picture.
It sounds like it's about achieving a certain quality of life, not just removing negatives.
Exactly. It also mentions knowing God. Seeing yourself as you are in his eyes.
That's interesting. Seeing yourself through a different lens.
And walking with him to experience his goodness, it's aiming for a complete kind of flourishing, not just relief.
So this leads us to that phrase, abundant life. How does the text define abundant?
It gives a pretty straightforward definition. Present in great quantity, more than enough, richly supplied.
More than enough. I like that.
Yeah. And it connects this directly to a verse, John 10:10, which says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Okay, so the source is framing this abundant life as something intended, something offered.
Precisely. And it says this life comes from loving God for who he is and embracing the changes he wants to make in you.
So there's a relationship aspect there. Loving God leads to embracing change.
Which leads to this abundant life. It's presented as interconnected.
And part of that change, it seems, involves dealing with our basic human nature.
Yes, the text is quite explicit about that. It says this transformation involves escaping the corruption of your sinful human nature.
Escaping corruption.
How? By sharing and growing in his own divine nature. So it's not just stopping bad things, but participating in something good, something divine.
That sounds like a pretty fundamental shift.
It is. And it references scripture, 2 Peter 1:3 to you to back this up.
What does that say?
Well, essentially that God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Okay, so the power is provided through the knowledge of him. And this leads to becoming partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire.
Wow. So it's offering a way to kind of transcend our inherent flaws by connecting with the divine.
That's the core idea being presented, yes.
Yes.
It's a huge promise of change.
And this links to identity, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The material suggests that while our born nature, the sinful nature, wants nothing to do with God, the Holy Spirit gives a new identity as his child. And this identity empowers you to step into his plan.
And conform to the image of Christ, as the text says. It's like being given a new operating system, almost.
That's a good way to put it. A fundamental shift in identity and capability.
Okay, so if that's the goal, this abundant life, this new identity, how do we actually get there? What's the process?
The text introduces a key concept here, sanctification. Sanctification. Okay, I've heard that term. How does this source explain it?
It cites 1 Thessalonians 4.3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. So it's presented as God's intention for us.
And what does sanctify mean according to this material?
The definition provided is make holy, set apart as sacred, purify, or free from sin.
Make holy, set apart.
Yeah. So in practice, it describes sanctification as becoming holy like Christ.
Like Christ. Okay, that's a high bar.
It is. And it involves a change in desires, habits, goals, and loves. It's deep stuff. It's about changing what you fundamentally want and value.
So it's an inside-out transformation.
Exactly. And here's a crucial point. The text says God will make these changes within you, but...
There's always a but, isn't there?
Well, yes. It emphasizes he wants you to be willing to change. That willingness seems absolutely key.
So God provides the power, but we provide the willingness. It's a partnership.
That's how it's framed. And the result. The more you know, love, and follow Jesus, the more your heart and mind will become Christ-like.
Which leads to more positive outcomes.
Yes, growth in love and trust of God, healing, transformation, and even power to fulfill his purpose.
Purpose comes into it again.
Mm-hmm, and it circles back. Knowing, loving, and following Christ is the abundant life. It's not just a path to it. It is it.
Okay, that clarifies the how. Now, for someone listening thinking, wow, that's a lot, where does this whole journey even begin? What's the very first thing?
The material is very direct about this. It states, the first step in following Christ is humbling yourself.
Humility. Okay.
Yeah.
That comes up a lot in religious and philosophical texts. How are it defined here?
It's defined as not proud, naturally, and involving a spirit of submission. But it goes deeper.
How so?
It includes ranking low in a hierarchy, but maybe more importantly, being willing for God to change you and be willing to serve him according to his will.
So it connects back to that willingness we just talked about. Humility is that willingness, in a way.
Yes, and also a willingness to serve. It's an active posture, not just a passive feeling of being low.
And the text offers an example, doesn't it?
It does. It points to Jesus, referencing Philippians 2.5 and 8.
Can you unpack that a bit? What's the example?
Well, it explains how Christ humbled himself and became a servant, willing to obey the Father no matter the cost.
No matter the cost.
Even to the point of death, the text quotes. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
That's intense. It really flips the script on what power looks like. It suggests power starts with his deep humility and obedience.
That's certainly the implication presented here.
Right.
And this humility, this willingness, it opens the door for the next step.
Which is?
Asking. The text says, God will give you the desire and courage to follow Christ if you're willing to receive it.
If you're willing. There it is again.
Right. And then it says, quite simply, all that you have to do is ask him to change you.
Just ask.
That's what it claims, citing Matthew 7.7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you.
So humility leads to asking. And asking leads to receiving the help needed for this transformation.
Exactly. And this brings us to the summary of step 7 in this material.
Okay, what's the essence of step 7 then?
It boils down to this. We humbly ask God's Spirit to change our hearts and minds in order to follow Christ fully. It ties humility, asking, and the goal of following Christ altogether.
Humbly ask for internal change to enable full commitment. Makes sense in the context of everything else.
And the source doesn't just leave it there as theory. It provides some practical questions for reflection.
Ah, good. Things for you, the listener, to actually engage with. What are they?
Okay, the first one is, if God were to fix forever the problem that brought you to recovery, would it be enough to satisfy you? Explain why or why not.
That's a challenging one. It pushes beyond the immediate issue, doesn't it?
It does. It asks you to consider if mere problem solving is truly enough for deep satisfaction.
What's the next one?
What excites you about following Christ's example? What concerns you?
I like that it asks about concerns, too. It allows for honesty.
Yeah, acknowledging potential roadblocks or fears is important, right?
Definitely. And the third question.
This one is very direct. Are you ready to ask God to change you in all of life so that you may fully follow Christ?
We're ready to ask for all of it.
Mm-hmm. And it adds, if so, write a prayer asking God to change you and to provide what you need. If you're not ready, explain. So it encourages self-awareness either way.
Right. It's okay to not be ready, but understand why.
Exactly. And finally, there's a take action suggestion.
Okay.
It says, if you have not found a place to serve others yet, humble yourself and ask your leaders how you can serve others at regeneration.
So linking that internal humility with practical outward service again.
Precisely. It connects the dots between inner state and outer action.
Okay, so we've covered a lot here. We journeyed through this idea of abundant life beyond just fixing problems.
The process called sanctification, this deep inner transformation.
And the absolute foundational role of humility, as presented in this source material, it really maps out a specific path.
It certainly does. This deep dive into humbly asking God for abundant transformation lays out that particular framework for change.
But it also leaves us, and you listening, with a broader question, I think.
Know what?
Well, Regardless of the specific religious context here, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? How does that core idea, a willingness to embrace really deep personal change?
And maybe even to humble ourselves in whatever way we understand that.
Right. How does that willingness potentially open doors to a more abundant existence, however we might define that richness or fullness for ourselves?
That's a great question to ponder. It takes the specific framework and pulls out a potentially universal theme about growth, willingness, and maybe even letting go of ego to find something more.